all coming. We do appreciate the Lord getting Brother Paul and Sister Frieda back down here in the Promised Land. So,
amen.
Thank you, Brother. Amen. But good to have them here now back, and pray that you get all settled in. Also, we need to keep remembering Aaron's sister Janine. Her job starts July the 12th. 11th or 12th here in Georgia. So she's moving here. So Sister Janine is moving here. So she'll be part of us, and just pray that she gets a place to stay. She's got a job at Mansfield Oil, and she did a real good job on that. And we thank some of the ones that were here that had some ties to Mansfield Oil, Brother Hal Thomas, and some of those gave her a good word of testimony. And somebody told me one time, said, it's all in who you know. And I said, yep. I said, You shouldn't be mad about that. I said, it's all in who anybody knows. How do we get what we get? A lot of times it's who we know. But we know one man that we should all know, and he's the one that gets us all what we need. So we just need to pray that each one, and she'll be coming back, so we need to build on again. Here we go. So we'll have her with us, and she'll be a good asset to the church. She's a good sister in the Lord. So, and remember Aaron's mom also, because there'll be some separation anxiety there from the oldest girl leaving. Had been with her for all her life. So just pray for her. So maybe we get her down here. We'll just get them all moved. Tennessee's not a bad place, but Georgia's better. Amen. Yeah, Georgia's better. Sorry, just that. Those of you from Tennessee, sorry. It's just where you live. It's all on who you know. It's all on where you live. So now we're gonna talk about grace again. And I was thinking about this morning, or yesterday afternoon and this morning. When I tell you that, you know, grace is the only thing, the only, man cannot develop grace. God was the only one that could develop this thing called grace. Because as we've been talking about the eternal redemption, are you catching it? That's grace. And it was put before there was even a person on earth to sin. Grace was already there. And I'm going to read you, if we get down far enough. If we don't, we'll continue on, where Paul says, do we, in other words, are we going to sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. That grace has come to take away our sin, not for sins forward, but for the sins that we did in the past, like Brother Branham was talking about here on the tape this morning, about how that throne of grace, if you're born again, that throne of grace is inside your heart. And every time you do sin, as a sinner, we have human, we sin, it takes that away. If you quickly say, God, forgive me, then it's completely wiped out. Now, see, that's grace. That's not us, because we as human beings hold grudges. We don't forget. You can say you do, but you don't. Amen? You be honest with yourself. No, you do not forget what either somebody did to you, or what you did, or what something went on. You do not forget it. But God, thank God, He's the one that will forget it. So He forgets. If you're born again, if you have that Holy of Holies inside of you, because what did the Holy of Holies do? And I'll read to you here in just a minute. Did you ever realize that there's 185 scriptures that talk about grace, and only about 30 of them are in the Old Testament? Because it was not, unless it was the grace of God Himself, there was no grace in the Old Testament. It was the law. You worked on Sunday, they killed the guy for picking up sticks on Sunday. They did this. If you don't do this, if you committed adultery, you didn't go to a court of law. You were stoned, you and the person you committed it with. There was no grace there. But now still, grace was there for... Remember, grace didn't develop in the Old Testament. Grace developed before the foundation of the world.
Right.
That way it did cover David when he committed adultery and had his best friend killed. It did cover Rahab because she was a harlot in her old past life. And all the different ones, Ruth being a Moabitess, and all the different ones that we read, and we're going to read them again. But we do see grace when you look at Adam, when God came down into the Garden of Eden, that was grace. Because Adam should have died for what he did.
Right.
Eve should have died for what she did. But there was grace there, and it was grace that was developed before the foundation of the world. But now remember, you can't have grace. That's why this That's why this great subject that we're discussing between Brother Dale and all the ministers, myself, talking about foreknowledge. Because without foreknowledge, God was a judge and he couldn't be a righteous judge. This is the way it was. Amen? That's why the prophet of God had to come and give us a grace of marriage and divorce, because there was a grace there. But remember, it don't go over into greasy grace. He can't override his word. His word says. All right? So you've got to find grace or unmerited. Let's look at the Hebrew lexicon. Grace is favor. And then we're not going to talk about the charming part, because that's when you say, well, somebody walks gracefully or they talk gracefully. That has really nothing to do with God. That's grace for man on the earth. But now see, favor, and then we're going to look and see that the prophet of God tells us unmerited favor. In other words, like I just said, it's all in who you know. Well, if somebody gets you a job, you think you owe that person, and you do owe them a little bit of gratitude. Somebody does something, but now not with God. God saved you whether you liked him or not. But he knew by foreknowledge that when he presented this to you, this grace, that you would accept it. Because see, to me, grace is the same as the pardon. The pardon was extended to the man that killed the guy. The pardon was extended to the man. Listen, he shot the guy. He was a murderer. Under the law, he was a murderer. But now remember what happened. He had somebody go and appeal his case. Like Christ appeals our case. And then we see that we're going to get into this part where Brother Brown talks about the real you didn't do it to start with. That's what God's looking at. He's not looking at the old you. He's looking at the new you that he saw before the foundation world that never sinned a day in your life. That way you can't stand in judgment. You've already stood judgment, because when Christ was judged, you were judged. And see, that's why in the Old Testament, there's not so much the word grace in the Old Testament. It's 100-something scriptures in the New Testament. Because when Christ came, he was grace. He didn't bring grace. He was the grace of God. Because remember, everybody thought, as Brother Branham thought, that Jehovah hated me. Because it's do's and don'ts, and I'm going to kill you with a firebolt, and you know I'm going to open up the ground, and if you don't do this, I'm going to... Right? And then he says, now, but I thought Jesus of the New Testament loved me. He said, come to find out, they're the same person. But what happened from Jehovah of the old to Jesus of the new? He became flesh. He was born like me and you. He was now your kinsman. His body was judged. Now, his soul wasn't judged, but his body was judged. He gave his soul a ransom, though, and truly he did. Christ did go into the Holy of Holies for me and you and took our judgment. He didn't take his judgment, he took our judgment. So he said, whatever they got, like Boaz, he stands up and he says, now, whatever they've done, it doesn't matter. I'm taking my shoe off and I'm going to redeem Naomi. And that's going to restore back everything that she lost when her husband died. Amen? That's what Christ did. He took Calvary. And he said, I'll take whatever they got. Place it on me. And that's why that we see this great grace only comes through Christ being the Son of Man. Our grace. Now there was grace for every need. You know the song, there's grace for every need. But the grace me and you needed was somebody to come down here in human flesh, according to John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he brought grace to the human being by coming on earth. And then we can look at the next one. It says, unmerited divine assistance. Unmerited divine assistance giving to humans. See, an animal doesn't need grace. It didn't fall. It's part of the fallen. But it didn't fall. Man fell. And man being here, man being the headstone of the human race, When he fell, though, everything below him fell. That's why Romans 8 says the whole world is groaning and waiting, what, for us to get right back up to where Adam was to be a ruler of this world. But what had to happen is the headstone of all had to come to do that. Because remember, the headstone was rejected. It became the chief cornerstone, which started grace on the day of Pentecost to the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, from the bride of Jesus Christ, look. From the bride of Jesus Christ, that's where grace continues. Jesus is not here in human flesh, except in your flesh. And when we stand in judgment, we can't have one mark against us, or we're going to have to be judged. Now, as Brother Dale's been preaching, there is a judgment that we have because we walk in this flesh. And we have five senses of memory, reason, conscious, effects, and imagination. Have you ever had a bad thought? Now, why does God not take that away? I was coming up the road today, meditating, and I had a bad thought. Just come out of nowhere. And I thought, Lord, why? Please take that thing away. I don't want to think that thought. Amen. All I heard was the prophet preaching, did not my prophet preach the greatest battle ever fought? There would be no battle if all those bad thoughts would be done away. Now, we know they're going to be done away when we get a body change. Amen? It's going to change us in our spirit realm, and we're not going to have to. The Bible says the former things have passed away, all things have become new. But now you got to remember, you got to run that through a filter, though, because I'll always know that Sister June was my wife. Right now, what the prophet said, you'll always know that that's what went on, but you won't remember all the other junk that you did, the fights that you had, and the when you had to sleep on the couch one night, and all these different things, you know. So I've never done that before, but maybe some of y'all have. You can tell me about it. But through grace, though, what happens in grace? Even grace that you have for the people around you, that's where that God's going to judge through the grace that you give somebody. As I've always said, somebody changes your tire, somebody gives you a cup of water. When you read that scripture, that word grace is not in that scripture, but that's the most graceful thing that God could ever do, was to give eternal life to somebody that didn't want it. See, that's unmerited favor. Now remember, you and I can't do that, though, if we've been to, remember the Bible says in Romans, if we come to a knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for that. You're not going to be able to plead ignorance. But that guy out there can. That's never heard anything except through me and you. And what we give him. So it is all in who you know. But you got to know him first. Then you can extend him out to the people. And see, that's grace for this world. Listen, we are the only grace on this earth at the moment. Once we leave this place, there will be no grace for the Gentile world, which is 99% of the world will become ungraceful. And that's why they're going to try to kill each other. Now, the grace is going to go to the Jews to get 144,000. So grace has not left the earth completely, but don't think you can make it. There is no grace for me and you once the rapture takes place. Gentiles. You might be a foolish virgin, but I don't think you're going to, not sitting here today, you're not going to plead a foolish virgin. You know too much. So you need to get in. But it's unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. A virtue coming from God. So to me, it's the highest virtue. It's grace. If you don't have grace, you're dead. All right, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. And then I like this one right here, approval. Everybody wants to, nowadays we're all online and everybody wants an approval rating. Yeah. Everybody wants a 4-star or a 5-star, right? Everybody wants a review. And that's how Google and all the people put you up here where people can see you, is because of your approval rating. Well, I want to ask you a question. Can your neighbors and can your friends give you a 4-star rating for being a Christian? Or do we have lesser reviews and comments that we need to work on? Y'all been through, and y'all know what I'm talking about. You buy anything online, first thing you get is an email that says, "Can you review this product? How did we do? How did we get it there fast? Was it the product you ordered? Was it at a competitive rate?" Well, that's the same thing we're doing now. We've been doing this forever. We've just not been doing it in a computer. Because if we're going to judge the earth, come on, if we're going to judge the earth, we need to have a 4-star rating.
That's right.
We need to have, you know, no negative reviews. And by grace we can. Or by our approval rating. So let's go to Genesis 6 verse 8 where Noah found approval in the eyes of the Lord. And he wasn't even born again, but he was a chosen vessel. He actually said, "Lord, I believe you're going to reign on this earth and you're going to have somebody to build an ark or somebody to get a way for these people to make it through because I see you're getting ready to destroy the world."
Right.
And we'll talk about this afternoon a little more about prophets. That's why God sends prophets on the earth. He sends prophets for what? Judgment, but it's judgment to the world. But it's salvation to me and you. It's judgment to the world, but it's grace to me and you. Amen? And that's what we've come under. I don't know why people have a problem. Well, I do know why. Because you look at Brother Branham and you call his name and the first thing they say is, well, we can't, you know, he's way off the norm.
Yeah.
We can believe a prophet over here because he's normal.
Yeah.
Prophet so-and-so and prophet so-and-so and prophetess so-and-so because they don't hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They let me do whatever I want to do. It's way over here on Greasy Grace. But then you got Brother Branham sitting over here, a prophet, a vindicated prophet, and they don't want to listen to him. But see, when God sends a prophet, that's unmerited grace to a generation. Unmerited approval. He sent Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So let's go to Exodus 33. And let's just go over this. But look, therefore I pray thee if I have found grace. What? Approval. Now wait a minute. At this moment of time, Moses is still a murderer. He murdered an Egyptian. God didn't pay any attention to that. He did let him go 40 years in the wilderness to get all that burn out of him, the prophet said. But he came back by a burning bush experience. And by that burning bush experience, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because listen, God was going to kill those people.
Right.
Moses, get out of the way. I'll destroy them. And one time the Bible says, he said, Moses, get out of the way. I'll destroy them all and I'll raise up a whole nother generation.
Right.
Well, now listen. That's exactly what God did.
Right.
God's not ever going to say something and it's not going to happen.
Right.
Because eventually, the ones he wanted to kill died.
Right.
And a new generation rose up and went into the promised land. So Moses found grace in thy sight. Show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And the Lord said, my presence will go with thee and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight, is it not in that thou goest with us? Now what he's saying, he's just like he said one time before, and I think Brother Branham even made the comment, and I'm trying to stay away from so many quotes to just give you scripture so that if anybody is watching, they can see just by scripture that we can prove everything that we believe. It's not just the prophet of God said. Everybody understand that? Amen. And we love quotes. But there is some time that you have to move them out of the way so that you can explain that it's been in the Bible the whole time.
Right.
But what Moses is saying, God, they're going to laugh at you. The nations are going, you brought us out with a mighty hand. You brought us into this wilderness. You picked these people.
Right.
Isn't that what he said? You chose them.
Right.
You picked them. Now you're wanting to kill them. And all the nations are going to say, well, this God just brought them out just to kill them all. That's what he's saying. And Moses said, I beseech you, Lord, please don't destroy them. And in one place, remember what he says? He says, if you're going to take them, you got to kill me. In other words, you got to come over me. Now, what was that? That was grace of God that Moses had a revelation that God wasn't going to kill them people if he didn't kill Moses. But now what happened? Remember, God backed off. But what did God say? He said, I'll make sure they don't make it into the promised land. So he did destroy and did raise up another generation. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He's talking about the Lord. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. Now see, you got to look at this. It didn't change God's mind. But Moses has got to speak it for it to become something. Remember, Brother Brown said, a thought, then you speak it, and it becomes word. Moses, what did he do? He caught the thought of God, and then he spoke it. Well, see, he caught the thought of God that God was not going to destroy him, because the Lord said, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found favor or approval in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he wanted to see God, and God showed him. Now let's go to Ruth. We were covering this last week. But there's so much about grace. We look in this, see, with Boaz and Ruth. We know that Boaz saw this woman out in the field, and he didn't know her, but he did know that there was something different about her. And then what did he do? He said, okay, he said, I'm going to protect you. In other words, don't leave this field. Do not leave this message. Do not leave this grace that you're under.
Amen?
Because if you leave this grace that you're under, I can't protect you. If you go glean in someone else's field, I can't do what I'm supposed to do. But if you'll stay in this field, which he knew she would, God knew she would, by foreknowledge, she, the bride, the real bride, would stay in his field. But now look what she done. Verse 10, and she fell down on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Now see, isn't that us? We're so unworthy. We go through every day. We go through every hour. We have all these bad thoughts. We have all these things that come among us. And we say, man, how can I be saved? Listen, the prophet of God, I think he was using a quote from someone else, but he said that you can't help for the birds to fly over your head, but just don't let them make a nest there. Now see, that's what you and I should learn, because when we were sinners, what happened? When that evil bird flew over, we let him make a nest. Right? And he laid eggs, and he stayed there. He resided there. But see, that's why the Bible says when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, in other words, you can drive him out of that nest. You better get filled up with God, or that same demon is going to come back with a bunch of his other bird friends, and you're going to be 10 times worse or 7 times worse. So we must not worry about our thoughts unless we entertain them. Everybody got that? Don't entertain them. If you just say, Lord, I don't want to think that thought, and you know what? Most of the time, start singing. Start praising the Lord. Start thank you, Lord. Now that thing will leave you, because the devil won't like to be around when the Lord's around. So why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me. So see, Boaz, typing Christ, he knew before the foundation of the world. Now Boaz didn't, but in typing Christ, he knew. He said, I knew that you were going to be here. And all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. In other words, he probably had a few spies. Boaz was a powerful man. And he didn't have ties to Ruth, but he had ties to Naomi. And in having ties to Naomi, he was watching Naomi, and he was watching this new girl, this new bride. Yep. He was watching her to see what she would do. That's why even the Bible tells you that if you're good to Israel, the nation that's good to Israel is good to you. Well, that Israel, Naomi types Israel, right? The old Israel, the old woman, the old typed Israel. And then that's why we don't say anything about the Jews. We don't have anything bad to say about them at all. And then God's going to honor that. That's why that God has honored this United States of America for all these years, is we have been a friend to Israel. Now, the first time, and it's coming up during this administration now, the first time it's going to come up, you watch and see. We're going to turn against Israel, and then that's when all heck's going to break loose. Because I just feel that's what's keeping it until all this is going on now. You let us withdraw from Israel, and you're going to see the fire fall. Because of the Bible. Because of this right here. Boaz answered and said, look, it's been fully showed me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother. In other words, she gave all. She left everything. Left the land of thy nativity. And now, what is the land of thy nativity? And we'll stop right here. That was her first birth. You must leave the land of your nativity. Your first birth. Amen? You need to go to a land that's not of your first birth. Because she left everything. She what? Left all of her world, all of her friends, all of her family. Didn't Jesus come up and say, you got to forsake father, mother, sister, brother, and come and follow me? So she went to the... When you got born again, you left the land of your first nativity. And you became into a place of Bethlehem, which is the house of God. You came into the house of God. And then that's when Boaz took over with Ruth, is when she came into his house. Not just stick house. His domain. And then he said, I'll protect you. So we're going to have to stop right there. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Like I said before, Israel is a type of the bride. It typed in the Old Testament under even the law, but we'll cover next Sunday, or maybe not. We're not going to do this next Sunday. It'll be the Sunday after. We won't have any Bible study or Bible school next Sunday at the July 4th. So let's stop right there, and then we'll continue with grace. But just remember, grace was only given by God himself when he became human flesh for me and you, the bride. He came to get a bride by grace. Are you saved? I didn't get to that, but it's in here. By saved, by grace, are you what? Saved through what? Faith. Ruth had to believe, though, that Boaz could do what he said he would do. And remember what she did. She had to go back to Naomi and tell Naomi what was going on. And Naomi said, stay in this field. He's gonna be your spouse one of these days. You need to stay right where you're at. In other words, when the Lord left Israel and came to us, he came to a Gentile bride. So, God bless you. Let's bow our heads. When I get finished praying, musicians, come on. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this love that you've given us called grace. And that it's not grace, Lord, that we can just do whatever we want to, Lord, but it's grace according to the Word of God. And that way we pass from death unto life and pass away from judgment, that you gave us, Lord, unmerited favor. But then as that unmerited favor has been extended, Lord, we do as Ruth. We didn't just take that frivolously and go running back off to our other country. No, we stayed and we fell in love with you. And we became your bride. And we, Lord, cherish you, Lord, that you gave us this grace, and that we'll not ever turn it into lasciviousness like the Bible tells us. That we'll not take it frivolously. That we'll take it, Lord, as unmerited approval from Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. We ask in Jesus' name you'll take care of this service. Amen. Musicians, come.